We're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Chedam and Bet. The Mishnah discussed the fact that once you've sold off the item, if it's impossible for you to keep the item because the item is going to consume its own value, then we said that you sell it and the money or the proceeds, the question is what do you do with the proceeds that you receive from selling the object? Rabbi Tarvin says you can use them. If they get lost, you're responsible for them. Rabbi Kiva Meir, lo yishtamesh behem, you cannot use the money. Right? And if they were lost, you're not chayav be'achriutam. So now the Gemara says, I'm kan lo pligi, ela kishnishtamesh behem. That their only machlokes between Rabbi Tarvin and Rabbi Kiva is about whether, not literally whether you can use them, but the ability to use them. And not that you physically use them, but your permission to use this money. That's the only question. Not that you didn't use them, but if you are not permitted to use them, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon agree, im avdu patur. That if they're lost, they are patur. If I was to say to you, okay, who is out of the shomrim, who is patur when it comes to gnei ben aveda? That's a shomer chinam. So if I look at Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, we're arguing about whether you have permission to use this money or not to use this money. Their question is revolving around achrayut, or responsibility. It comes from your ability to use it, right? Or the lack of responsibility because you don't have to use it. But if we left that out of the picture, if you couldn't use it, both of them would agree that you're simply a shomer chinam. Now we've seen this machlokas a number of times before. We've seen it in Bava Kamma and the Darim Shmuz. We see it in places, what? That there's machlokas about what's the status of a shomer aveidah. So Mar says, if that's the case, let me tell you to you to the Rav Yosef. This should be a huge problem for Rav Yosef. Why? Ditmar, right, we have a machlokes shomer aveda. When it comes to someone who is watching an aveda, taking care of an aveda until it's returned to its proper owner, Rabba Mark is shomer chinam. Rabba says he is a shomer chinam, and Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef America shomer sachar. There's a dinner shomer sachar. Here the Gemara does not discuss their reasoning. We've seen it together. We saw it in Bava Kamma. We saw also in the Darim that the reason is what's called Pruto de Rav Yosef, right? Which is that Rava believes you're Shomer Chinam because, right? What are you doing? What are you getting paid to do this? Watch this Aveda. Rav Yosef, on the other hand, says there are situations in which this Aveda could actually save you some money, or they could actually cause you to not have to expend the money. And what's that? That's called Fruta de Rabbi Yosef, and as David was correctly quoting, has to do with the fact that if an ani shows up to your door to get bread because he's an ani, if you are involved with the Aveda, Tosus clarifies this, I mentioned it slightly over here, but in other places Tosus clarifies, that it has to be that you're actively involved with the Aveda. If you're actively involved with the Aveda, that would be poter you. That would free you from the obligation to pay the ani at that time, or to give tzedakah to the ani. And because of that reason, that the Avedah is poter you of expending money in the situation of the Ani, that is your Sachar, that is your payment that makes you into a Shomer Sachar. Tosus over here says that Rava doesn't necessarily disagree with the principle of Prudit Rav Yosef, he just disagrees that that's enough value to make you into a Shomer Sachar, but just because it's such an infrequent event. It has to be that simultaneous with you're being involved with the Aveda, something that you have to do, not simply that the Aveda is sitting in your closet, but that when you get involved to do, we'll see what you have to do with the Aveda. If you're doing something to take care of the Aveda, and at that exact moment, an Ani shows up at your door. So it's just not Shchiach enough, it's not enough compensation to classify you as a Shomer Sachar. So now you have this machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. What seems from our Mishnah is that the baseline is Shomer Chinam. The only argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is if you do have permission to use the money, right, then do you turn into what seems to be a shomer sachar? Are you chayv naveda? If you are not permitted to use it, you remain a shomer chinam. But that what makes you into a shomer sachar? Not the fruit of the Rabbi Yosef, but the fact that the reason is because you can use the money. So machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon seem to be premised or based on the fact of Rabba's position, which is that your baseline for a shomer naveda is a shomer chinam, which is a huge problem for Rabbi Yosef. So how is Rabbi Yosef going to deal with this? I'm like Rabbi Yosef, b'gneva v'aveda d'kulei amalo pligi d'chayav. Everybody agrees by gneva v'aveda your chayav, which makes you into a shomer sachar. Keep pligi. All right. So then, what are Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon arguing about? They're arguing about the fact that are you chayav and onsin here, like a shoel or not? Rabbi Tarfon savor sharolei rabbanon lishtemushe v'gavayu. Tarfon believes, since you have permission to use the money, you therefore become a shoel. And if you become a shoel, you're chayiv in onsin. Not only are you chayiv in gneiva aveda, But you have the additional chiyuv of unsin, which a shomer zechar is patur from, but a shoel is chayavin. Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbanan did not permit you to use the money, therefore you remain at the level of a shomer zechar and not the level of a shoel. So you're chayavin kneva aveda, but you're patur from unsin. Where it says, how do you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says explicitly that the difference in opinion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarban has to do with achrayut and aveda. Right? It's a very nice explanation of Rabbi Yosef. The only problem is that Rabbi Akiva, or let's say Rabbi Tarfon, says, Yishtamesh behem, lefikach imabdu chayav. Right? You should use them, because therefore if you use them, you'll be chayav for aveda. And Rabbi Akiva says the opposite, you'll be patur from aveda. So it's clear that their machlokas revolves around aveda and not around unsin. So how could Rabbi Yosef explain the Mishnah like that? So here the Gemara is going to clarify this all the way through to the bottom of the Amud here. How exactly to read this lefikach? When it says, Yochi. Fichach, damar Rabbi Akiva, lomuli. Fichach, Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean? What is he saying? Yamar, bishlama, b'gneva, aveda, hu, depligi. If you say they're arguing about gneva and aveda, meaning that the premise of their machlokas starts with Rabba, which is shomer chinam. And now they're arguing whether he can become a shomer sakhar or take on additional responsibility of aveda here by using the coins. Yachi, then I can understand. I know tani Rabbi Akiva, omer lo ishtamesh behen. He won't use them. Don't use them. Therefore, if they are lost, right, then you are not chayav b'achriyotan because you simply remain a shomer chinam. So I would have thought. What do you think? Shomer sachar v'kerabbi Yosef. So we're going to say that no, that he's a shomer sachar like a Rabbi Yosef. Uv gneva beda mechayav. Kamash v'lan. Then no, lefikach. So exactly, your hava mean would have been be a shomer sachar, and the conclusion of the fikach teaches me no, you're simply a shomer chinam because you have no permission to use the money. So they have no sachar here. You have no sachar because you don't have proof to the Rabbi Yosef. You don't have the permission to use the money. So what are you getting besides simply watching the aveda over here? If you're not getting anything, then you're simply a shomer chinam. That's exactly what the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is in the Mishnah, according to Rabbah. If you hold like Rabbi Yosef, and you're saying now that everybody agrees by Gneva and Aveda, you're Chayav, meaning that the baseline is Shomer Sachar, then they're arguing about simply Ones, the additional responsibility, the additional obligation to take care of Onsin or to compensate for Onsin. My Lefikach to Rabbi Akiva. How are you going to explain the Lefikach of Rabbi Akiva? This is the way it should have read. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo yishtamesh behem. You shouldn't use them. Anadana, and I know, came into loyishtamesh mehem, lav shoel abi. Therefore, he's not a shoel. Veinu chayav biachriyutan, and therefore, he's not responsible for them. Not responsible for own sin. But what is he talking about? Aveda over here. If he's talking about the machlokus or the machlokus, the pivotal issue is about own sin and shoel. Aveda is not even relevant. Everybody agrees by aveda. So when it says, if that's the case, the fikach to Rabbi Akiva, lomali. What's the point? So he says, no problem. He shul lefikach to Rabbi Tarfon. He's just mimicking the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon. So he's just the opposite of the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon. But how does that help you? Lefikach to Rabbi Tarfon normally. How are you going to explain the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon? He says the same thing, because he says, chayav b'achriyutan ba'aveda, right? Im avdu, chayav b'achriyutan. Hachikamar, you say, if you explain it, kevin de shorlei rabbanon lishtemushe b'gavayu, keman dishtemashu b'gavayu dami. Since the rabbanon gave you permission to use them, it's as if you've used them already.
Even if you haven't.
Even if you haven't used them. Alright, very nice explanation. Bahav du kotani. The Mishnah still says by Rabbi Tarfon that you're chayav b'achriyutan im avdu chayav b'achriyutan. Right, that has nothing to do with onsin, it has to do with gneva aveda. Sounds like the baseline again is shomer chinam. And the additional obligations that are being added over here are aveda, probably gneva and aveda, which makes you into a shomer sachar, not into a shoel. Right, or if it was own sin, you'd be patur, which means it's not a shoel. So Mar says, "Kid the rabbo." He's going to use the way rabbo explains what the amar rabbo nignevu benisti mizuyin. They were stole by armed briars. So Mar says, "Avdo shetavus tavos finato b'yam." So I can explain gneva and aveda also as cases of own sin. I mean that even though he uses the term aveda, aveda can also mean. Onus, and how is that? You have an aveda, whereas boat sinks in the ocean. Right? When it sinks in the ocean, Right? That means that it's an onus. So here the word avedah is not used in the sense that we think of as generic avedah, which would be where a shomer shachar is chayav and a shomer chinam is patur. But the reality of avedah of our Mishnah is an avedah of onus. How do I have an avedah of onus? Or how do I have neva of onus? Neva avedah of onus come up by listi mizuyin, armed robbers, and tavos minatobayam is when his boat sinks. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmo, aloha to Rabbi Tarfon. Aloha here is like Rabbi Tarfon. So now, the kirsa here of the Bach is Bei Rechava. It's the name of a place. Havalei Hanu Zuzei. They had money, the Atme of the Yitomim. Adel Kamei to Rabbi Yosef. They came to Rabbi Yosef. Amalei, Maulishta Moshe Begavayu. Do I have permission to use this money? Can I use the money? We're holding on to money for Yitomim. We're watching it for them. In the interim, while we are being Shomer on this money, are we permitted to use the money? So Amalei Achyama Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo Lachuk Rabbi Tarfon. Allah is like Rabbi Tarfon. That when you are Shomer for a Kesef, that you're allowed to use them. That's our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Tarfon passing like Rabbi Tarfon. So it pipes up Abaye. Amalei Abaye, V'lav Yitmar Allah. Don't we have a qualification of this statement? Amar Rabbi Chelba, Amar Rabbi Muna, Lo Shanu, Elab Tmei Aveda. That's only we're talking about money that was generated through the sale of an Aveda. Hove Tarachba. Because the money only came about by the fact that you sold the Aveda. So since you were involved in creating this money, therefore we give you as a similar compensation, we give you the right to use the money. On the other hand, the Vama'ot Aveda, the Lo Tarachba, will say you just found money. It wasn't that you found an animal that you sold for and monetized it. It's not that you found a beged and for some reason you had to sell it and monetized it. On the other hand, here, what happens if you walk on the street, you find money that were tzrok, that have a siman on them, you find money that's stacked up. Do you have permission to use that money? No, right? The Lo Tarachba. No, because there you didn't expend any effort to generate the money that's here or monetize the object. The money was there. And therefore you cannot use the money. So honey, what the money that the Yitomim have mufkad with you, they placed it with this individual. It's not because you monetized it for them, it's because they gave you it to watch. They gave it to you to watch. You're taking it for the Yitomim, then you have the same qualification as finding, or you have the same case as finding Ma'ot Aveda. So Amalei, so if you say Zil Lo Shapku Li Dashrilach, you guys have to go back. They're not giving me permission to let you use it. Meaning that because of Abai's Ha'ara, Rabbi Yosef said you're not permitted to use it because the Ma'ot of Yitomim are the equivalent of finding Ma'ot out on the street, finding Ma'ot on the street. Rekiv and Rabbi Tarfon don't really argue about that. That they agree, everybody agrees you can't use it. The only time they disagree about your ability to use the money is when the money or the monetization was done by you. And because you made that effort, because you invested in this Aveda, we allow you then to use the money afterwards. Right, so that's the basic sugya. I want to point out here, there's a very large Tosfos on the previous Amud. Tosfos deals with two issues. One issue is the issue of what we call, in English, there's only one word for the infinitive to borrow. Right, to borrow in the English language means both to borrow money, right, and also means to borrow an object. If you borrow a knife or scissors, or some item from your friend, that's also called to borrow. And if you borrow money from your friend, or you borrow money from the bank, that's also called to borrow in English. In Hebrew, on the other hand, there are two different verbs to describe these different borrowings. One who borrows money is called a loveh, right? One who borrows an object or an item is called a shoel. So Tosfos' basic question here is, what are you doing over here with this money? Are you a shoel or are you a loveh? Right, are you a borrower of this money in the sense that you are taking out a loan? Or are you a borrower of this money in the sense that you are going to return the exact same item? So it says it's clear here, and it's clear that the money that you borrow over here, you are not responsible to return the exact same money that you borrowed. I mean, that if you use the money that was the Avedah was monetized to, when the person shows up for his Avedah, you don't have to return him the exact coins that you got from his monetization. You have to return him the equivalent money. And that's the difference between a loveh and a shoel. A shoel must return the object that they borrowed. A loveh must return the value of which they borrowed. So over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a loveh. And yet, what the Gemara keeps using the word shoel. Why is the Gemara using the shoel when it should be using loveh? That's Tosfos' basic question. So Tosfos says that he thinks that it's, we have had a lot of these actually in the Zikin, but he thinks it's a lashon mush'al. He says that they're using the word shoel because shoel in the Torah is the one who's clearly identified as the one being responsible for onsin. So if the Gemara wants to indicate that we're discussing onsin over here, it says it's shoel. So it's using the term shoel to represent the onsin, but not to say that this individual is a shoel over here. Because Tosfos at first tries to solve the problem by saying, oh, what happens if he doesn't use the money? I mean, if he has the right to use the money, but he hasn't yet used the money, does then he have to return the exact coins? And that's why he's called the shoel? So it says, no way, that's not the case. That's not what happens here. Even if you never use the coins, if you have permission to use them, you don't have to return these coins. You can return any value or money. Mere fact that you're a lofer, not a shoel, gives you that entitlement even before you've used the money. So he says it must be over here that the word shoel is being used as a lashon bush'al to indicate chiyu be'onsin. And the chiyu be'onsin is just representative of the word shoel, but not indicating that you are actually a shoel, but you really are a lofer. That's one issue that Tosfos deals with. The second issue that Tosfos deals with is that Rabbeinu Chananel and the Baal Halachos Gedolot paskin like Rabbi Yosef. It's here, Rabbeinu Chananel and the son of the second Amud here, and Rabbeinu Chananel says that the Halachos like Rabbi Yosef. Tosfos disagrees here, and he takes this, the whole sugi over here that Tosfos takes out, to disagree to show that the Halachos is like Rabbi and not like Rabbi Yosef. The second Tosfos, if you're interested in going through it, it's interesting. One of the things that he does define, which I mentioned earlier, is that Rabbi does not disagree with the principle of Putu de Rabbi Yosef. If an ani showed up at the door while you're working the Avedah, Rabbi would agree that you are patur. Again, he thinks that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef don't disagree about the principle of proof of the Rabbi Yosef, but rather about whether that's sufficient to generate a Shomer Sachar. Right. Is it sufficient to generate a Shomer Sachar? Okay, so I just wanted to point out, since it's large Tosfos, just so you're aware of what's contained within the Tosfos. Right, so again, just to summarize what we saw here, we have a machlokas that we brought from the Kamo and Nidarim and other places that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef disagree about what the status of a Shomer Avedah is. A Shomer Avedah, a Shomer Sachar, or a Shomer Chinam. The Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah that the position of Rabbi is correct because the Mishnah seems to be arguing about whether a person is elevated to the status of a Shomer Sachar when he gets usage or permission to use the money. Because what is the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon and Mishnah is about whether you're obligated to, or you are responsible when it comes to Aveda. Aveda is a difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. So it sounds like everybody agrees that you are a Shomer Chinam, but then if you have permission to use the money, then you become a Shomer Sachar. So that would sound like the position of Rabbi. So then Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, no, the machlokas is really about the fact whether you move from a Shomer Sachar to being a Shoel. I mean, are you elevated? The baseline is Shomer Sachar. You're elevated to Shoel, where you become Chayven on sin. The Gemara then says, how could you say such a thing? Because Lafika, both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, mentioned the word Avedah, which seems to be that their whole difference in their opinion revolves around Avedah. According to Rabbi Yosef, there is no difference in Avedah. Everybody agrees Avedah is Chayav. So the Gemara's answer in the end is that the Avedah we're talking about here is not your normal run-of-the-mill Avedah, rather Avedah of Onis, which is Tavos Vina Tovayam, that is boat sunk in the ocean. So that's something that's so unusual, the Avedah there is not regular Avedah where you'd be Chayav as Shomer Sachar, but rather is the Avedah of Onsin. And the Avedah mentioned the mission between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, which is the point of their machlokas is an avedah of ones, and that's their machlokas, whether you are elevated from Shomer Sachar to Shoel, to be chayven onsin or not, and that's how Rabbi Yosef will explain the Gemara. We had the Mishnah, and we had the last qualification by Rabbi Chelba Maravuna, which says that the only machlokas to Rabbi Kiva Maravuna about your permission to use the money is if you're the one who generated that money, you're the one who monetized the avedah to bring the money here. But simply, if you find ma'ot, you find money out on the street, that's not sufficient to give you permission or sufficient investment on your part to give you permission to use the money.
You said okay. That for that. Obviously, I mean, if you don't use the money, you don't have to be returning those specific coins. Right. I mean, it's smart to do it too, because when I sold the donkey, whatever it was, I didn't get specific money.
Right. I got value.
I got any money. So minus kamina for the person who lost it, with which coins he gets.
Right. Matos was just trying to create, even in any loan, say maybe you say in any loan, when I borrow the money, if I haven't used it yet, maybe I'm a shoel until I become a lofer. That maybe that every shoel, every loveh is first a shoel and then a loveh. So Tosfos, no, that's not the case. You're a loveh from day one and not a shoel. Okay. So now, next mission. Matzah Sfarim, Korei Bahane Chadosh Shoshim Yom. Find Sfarim. Sfarim in their day mean the equivalent of what we have, like the Nevi'im that we have, or their golel, right? A cloth that's golel. So you have to read them every 30 days in order that they do not go bad, right? Not mit apesh. They don't rot or they do not start to shred a little bit. Even if you don't know how to read, go lot. Just roll through them. I mean, that you don't have to literally read in them, but you have to roll through them. Don't make this the first time you're looking into a sugya in the klach, because a person will spend an inordinate amount of time on a specific location. That's not to the benefit of the item or the sefer itself, but rather to your benefit, maybe even to the detriment of the sefer. Two people should not read together, because when two people are reading, there's a tension on the sefer itself, because each one is trying to pull it in their direction. So that type of usage is not necessarily beneficial to the sefer. Matzaksut, if he finds clothing, he has to shake it out, clean it out every 30 days to and he hangs it out for whatever its needs is. Don't hang it out so that it looks nice for him, that all of a sudden he has this beautiful cloth that he's hanging out. So it shouldn't be something that's decorative for you, but rather for the benefit of the item itself. Why do you have to shake it out? You have to shake it out to get rid of the dust and the dirt that collects on it, plus to get rid of, as Rashi says, the ash. You have to get rid of the moths, right, that could collect in these items. You have to clear and shake them out. Clay kesef, clay nechoshim, and then at silver and copper, mishtamesh behen l'tzorchan. Use them for their benefit, meaning that if you don't use them, they're going to get rotted, or they're going to lose some of their value, because where do you have to store them? The Gemara is going to tell us you have to store them in the ground. You store them in the ground, silver and copper in the ground actually deteriorates in some way, so they will become, silver become oxidized, and therefore it will have a changed color, it has all the tarnish on it, and copper the same way will turn greenish, right, as it's oxidized in the ground. As opposed to this, avola shachakan, you can't use them in order that they wear down. So you have to use them to prevent tarnishing and to prevent the copper from oxidizing into green. But on the other hand, you can't use them to the point where you're actually, right, wearing down the kli. Klei zahav uklei zechuchit, when it comes to gold and glass, lo yigabehen, once you stick them in the ground, don't touch them. Gold, because gold is not affected by the oxidation process, so therefore it will stay the same. And number two is glass, because glass is too delicate. We don't want you touching it. Just leave them there until the guy shows up or until Eliyahu shows up. Matzasak okupa. You find a item that is, like for instance today would be the equivalent, you see a shopping bag, a plastic shopping bag on the floor. If you want to pick it up for yourself, such an item, right? Arizelo, you told, then you have to pick it up for someone else. If this is not enough of a value, an item of value that you yourself would pick it up, right, then you're not obligated to pick it up on behalf of someone else. Amar Shmuel, Hamotzit tefillin b'shuk, someone who finds tefillin in the shuk, sham demeim nichan outer. You assess them, monetize them, right, and you sell them off right away. So, when it says, meiti ravina matzah svarim, our Mishnah says that when it comes to svarim, kori v'ayana chad l'shloshim yom, read them one every 30 days. V'meinu daily quote, if he doesn't know how to read, golalan. Golalan in, sham demeim nichan lo. But the only permission you have to do is to roll them through to make sure they stay in good stead, in good quality, good condition. But you don't have permission to monetize them. So why by tefillin do you have permission to monetize them day one? So why it says an interesting line. Amar Abaye is probably the opposite of what we have today. Tefillin bei barachabu mishkach shkiche, svarim lo shkiche. In their day he says, you can go down the block, this guy, they have tefillin. You can get tefillin anytime. Tefillin are generic. Tefillin are easily purchased. And since tefillin are easily purchased, then if you monetize the tefillin, the guy shows up to get it, is a paid the back, a kind of tefillin, and you have them the money. He can go right down to the store, buy the tefillin, and he'd be right back on track in no time. Sfarim are very hard to find, are difficult to get. Since they're difficult to get, we don't want you monetizing it day one, because if he does show up then, and you give him the money, it's going to be hard for him to replicate, right, that sefer that he had before to buy it back. So we say to you, give him more time. Extend your tipul with this item, in order that we want you to preserve the Avedah itself and the Sefer itself, that he actually gets the Sefer back, rather than getting the money back instead of the Sefer.
But generally, why do we say silver? Why do we say that he should sell them? We should keep them. Is there the tefillin? We would say, let's see, you would have to keep the tefillin. We would say also that he has to open them every 30 days or something.
Right, it seems that the tircha of keeping tefillin around was much more, but he has to be shomer them because of their kedushatan, he has to move them around so they don't go bad. He has to store them that the
object. Any object, I mean, let's say 80% of the objects, you could go to the market and buy them.
Right.
But we don't say stop, we don't say any object, you find a cup, so when
assuming that there's
no,
there's different levels, right. That's what the previous mission discussed. If there's tircha involved, If there's tircha involved, then we have limitations to how much we demand of you. And it has to be, that's the underlying assumption of the Gemara here, that tefillin require, that watching a tefillin require an additional tircha, which makes him want to monetize it right away. The Gemara before uses the terms sham demayim u'menichan, which means that take the money and place them on the side. Menichan means leave the money aside. And you could say by tefillin, you could say menichan means to use them and put them on. But I thought. But if you look back in the previous Gemara after the Mishnah, the Mishnah we just had before, sham demayim u'menichan.
Ban in the Ran says menichan mamish.
Right. Although it's very hard to say that because of the previous Gemaras. I think then you're changing the word menichan. On daf chavchenu mebet, right after the Mishnah, I'll read to the Mecha. I'm Rav Shmuel, I'm Shmuel. Adu beis chodesh. You have to watch them. What are you going to do with the par and chamor? How are you going to put them on? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. The minichan here is...
In other words, if I don't have any tefillin and I find tefillin, I could put the money on the side and I could wear them immediately. I could buy them from the right. Obeid.
I would just say to you, I thought, when I first read the Gemara, I thought exactly like you. Minichan meant, because the verb minichan by tefillin means to put them on. But then I said, well, let me look back, and I looked at the Gemara, and I remember that the word minichan shows up there, and that minichan, you can't, it's definitely saying a minichan means put them aside, the money aside, not the put them on. And so I think it's more difficult. And the altar is modifying the fact that you sell them right away as opposed to any other object which you don't sell right away.
So you're saying like the Ritzel, but he's quoting Pashat Pshat, like the Rambam, the Rush, they all say that you put it on.
Yeah. Tarav ben Anu, shel sefer Torah mechaveros. Someone who borrows a sefer Torah from his friend. Arizel lo yishel enu l'acher. Number one, you can't lend it to someone else. Number two, potche bekore bo. You can open up and read it. Ubaj lo yimod bo betchila. Again, you can't start a sugya in this sefer. V'lo yikore acher yimo. And another person shouldn't read with him. V'chein ha-mafkid sefer Torah yitzel chaveros. Someone who gives a sefer Torah to someone else to watch. Golulo kol shneimasar chodesh. You have to roll it every 12 months. You can open it up and read in it. But if you open it up for your own benefit, meaning for your own benefit to read in it, that you can't do. But you can open it up and read in it in order to be golelit. So isum chosomer bechadash 30 yom. The new sefer every 30 days you got to roll up. Yashan 12 chodesh every 12 months because newer svarim tend to wear down faster and need to be rolled more often. It's true in the Sifrei Torah today, right? The older Sifrei Torah, you have less issues with letters cracking, with issues with the clef. As newer Sifarim, until they're used a number of times, they still have some of these issues. Both of them, 12 months. All right, now the Gemara is going to explain this whole mem, this whole price. Amamar, Ashu'el Sifur Torah Mechavera Zeh Lo Yishalenu L'Acher. Okay, you can't lend it out to someone else. Gemara says, my Arya Sefer Torah. What's unique about a Sefer Torah? That's unique. That's true of any Sheila. Anything you borrow, you're not allowed to lend out to someone else. Afilu kol mili nami, dam reish malachish, kan shana rabbi. This is the way Rav Shimon ben Lakish says about, it's a Mishnah in Gittin. In the Mishnah in Gittin about a get that someone sends to Medina Siyam to Eretz Israel, and says you have to go, when you get to the woman, you have to take this chafetz. This chayfetz, I'm sorry. You have to take this object. When you take this object, bring it back. There, Rav Shimon Lakish explains the reason that you can't allow someone else to do it is because you don't have permission to lend an object to someone else. So he says, Gan Shana Rebbe. So Rebbe is learning from that Mishnah. Ain a Shuel Rashay Lashil. If you're a Shuel, you're not allowed to lend out to others. Ain a Socher. If you're a renter, in Rashay Lashil. You can't sub, right? You can't sublet, sub rent to another individual. So Mar says, Sefer Torah is Trichalei. I would have thought by Sefer Torah that it's an exception to this rule. Right, people would want people to use their Sefer Torah for a mitzvah. I mean, I gave a Sefer Torah. You want people to read from it. You want people to learn Torah from it. K'mashman, despite that, what would have been a mitigating factor, we still say that Ein Hashoel Rashai L'Hashiel. You're still not allowed to lend it out to another party. That overrides, right, what we would have thought is the mitzvah aspect of it is overridden by the fact that people do not want you to lend out objects that have been lent to you. They are discerning in who they lend out to, and they don't want you making that decision. The Baalim themselves want to make such a decision. Right now, next line in the Braisa, potcho bekorebo. You're allowed to open and read it. Right, says, if you borrowed a Sefer Torah, what else are you going to do with the Sefer Torah? Right, pshita. What else would you have borrowed the Sefer Torah for if you can read it? I mean, if the Bible says you can read it, of course you can read it. So he says, Seifei Tzrichla, I mean it for the other part, right? Uvach lo yimod bo tchila. That even if you borrow and you're permitted to read it, you're not permitted to read a new sugya for the first time, because you spend too much time on it. V'chein. So now Gemara says, Hamafki Seifei Tzrichla Tzrichla, bololo kloshtei maser chodesh. Botcho v'kore bo. So Gemara says, ma v'tei gabei. Right, so what do you mean? Why are you permitted to read it? I mean, I understand if you shoel, if you borrow it, that's what you borrowed it for in order to read it. Over here, you are, what? You're being mafkid, they were mafkided to you. What is your permission to read it for? They want you to watch it, not read it. But two, im bishvilo patcho asur. What are you going to say? Well, if he reads it for himself, he's asur. Amart potcho v'korebo. You just said before that he can open it up and read it. I mean, if he can't, what do you mean he can't open, if he can open it up and read it, of course he's reading it for himself. Where it says, achikamar. Im kishu gololo potcho v'korebo mutar. And again, in order to facilitate the rolling of the Sefer Torah, you read it. I mean, it's a little boring to just roll a whole Sefer Torah through. So instead, you read through the Torah as you're, you know, you practice the laning as you're going through it. That is mutar, because you're doing it for the benefit of the Sefer, right? Even though it's also, you're getting a side benefit with it. Im bishvilo patchol, if you simply open up the Sefer Torah for yourself to read in it, that is asur, because that's not what you have permission over here. You're a shomer over here. You're not a shoel. Sumchos omer, b'chadash 30 yom, b'yashan 12 chodesh. Lozer ben Yaakov omer, echad zeh, v'echad zeh 12 chodesh. Where it says, Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov, hainu Tanakamu. Tanakamu says you roll it every 12 months, and that's what Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov is saying. He doesn't differentiate. So why is it that Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov is saying something different? Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov omer, echad zeh, v'echad zeh 30 yom. Rather, we amend Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov to say 30 yom, to say 30 days, but the benefit, I say why. Why do that? Why would you amend the Mishnah to change Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Because then when we have a Tanu, the author of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Matzah Sfarim, that is Golulah, for 30 yom. Problem is, right, we don't have an author to our Mishnah. Now, if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one who says that it doesn't matter Yashan or Chadash, that you roll him every 30 days, then he's the author of our Mishnah, which is Matzah Sfarim, that you have to read them, Koreban, for 30 yom, that you have to use them, right, every 30 days. So that's why there's even an impetus for the Gemara to amend Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to read Shlosh Yom, because then we have a Tanu who's the author of our Mishnah. Alright. When you're reading in the Sefer Torah, don't read it and then read it again. Meaning that don't read a Parsha twice. Also, do not read a Parsha and be Targim, because then you'll spend more time on that specific location. Don't open up more than three tapim, three columns, we'll call them, or three, I don't know, pieces of cloth that is spread out. Three people should not read it, but krach echad. And one krach. Wait, our Mishnah says that two people can't read it. Hashnayim korin. So implied from this braisa is that you two could read it. Amar bai lo kasha. Kan binyan echad. Kan b'shnei inyanim. Here's by one inyan, here's by two inyanim. What's Abai's answer? Chalukas Rashi in the Rambam. Rashi says, b'inyan echad, you can't be koreh. You can't have two people reading from the same inyan, because then there's tension, pressure to move it in each direction for each one of them to see it. Whereas when you're in shnei inyanim, if we're on two different parts of the, he's on this part of the sefer, and you're on the other part of the sefer, and the two of you are not interacting over the same piece, then it's fine, because there's no tension. You have your spot, I have my spot, then we're not going to cause tension, not going to rip it. The Rambam learns just the opposite, right? The Rambam is the other way. If we're both looking at the same inyan, we have a sense of what each one is doing. Since you have a sense of what each one's doing, we're not going to come and rip it. On the other hand, if I'm over there and you're over here, we have no idea what you're doing. Each one's going to use their personal thing, and they'll pull against each other, and that'll cause the problems. The Rambam learns the opposite. A matzav suit, minara echad l'shoshim yom. He finds a beged, right? Then he shakes it out every 30 days. The memra, d'neur malilo. That sounds like shaking out a beged is beneficial to the beged. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement. Misha yesh lo gardi uman, toch bedo. Someone who has a personal weaver, personal tailor within their house. Yene'er ksuto b'chol yom. Shake out your ksut every day, because that's what you're going to have to do. Because if you shake it out every day, you're either going to wear the beged down, or you're going to ruin it, you're going to need a new beged. So Imri b'choyom kashila. I mean, so Imri b'choyom kashila, echad l'shoshim yom malila. Difference between how often you're shaking it out. Rabbi Yochanan says anybody who shakes it out every day, that's detrimental to the beged. Every 30 days, that is beneficial to the beged. So the difference between Rabbi Yochanan's statement here, Rabbi Yochanan's basically giving advice. Derek Eretz is giving advice here. So his advice is, don't shake your beged out every day. Our Mishnah says, well, shake, if you have an aveda of a beged that you're watching, shake it out every 30 days. So if that's the case, how do you reconcile? That's exactly what the Gemara says. The difference between one day and 30 days. Every 30 days, it's beneficial to the beged. Every day is detrimental to the beged. Ibai Zema. Another possible question gives numerous answers here. Lokasha ha bechad v'habitrei. Depends how many people are shaking it out. If one individual is shaking it out, that's okay for the beged. If two people are shaking it together, there's much more tension on the beged, and that causes, that's detrimental to the beged. So it depends if it's one person shaking out versus two people shaking out. There are different ways to clean something out, right? If you bang out a carpet, if you bang out a carpet for the dust, you can either shake the carpet yourself, or you can take a stick and bang the carpet, right? When you bang the carpet, that also shakes the dust out. So now, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, what is it detrimental to the beged when you hit with a stick? That type of pressure on the beged wears it down. On the other hand, if you do it by hand, that won't wear down the beged. Depends on whether it's wool or linen. So again, here Rashi says wool is detrimental. When you use it by wool, it's detrimental when you shake it out because it stretches out the wool and therefore it would rip. On the other hand, by kishtan, by linen, that's okay for the beged because the tension on the kishtan or in the linen is not detrimental. On the other hand, again, the Rambam disagrees. Once the Rambam and others disagree, other poskim disagree and explain the opposite. That by wool can take the tension because it's got a little more give in it. Since it has more give in it, right, then shaking out, what's not detrimental to it. On the other hand, linen, which is much more tense, right, is if you shake it out, you're going to put pressure on it that it's not built to take. It's not meant to stretch at all. Not to give it all. Alright, so now the Gemara continues. Another statements now. What the Gemara is going to actually do now is bring other statements of Rabbi Yochanan that deal with Derech Eretz, that deal with his, you know, worldly advice. So one of his first piece of worldly advice was don't shake out your beged every day. Second one is Rabbi Yochanan kasa the charsin velo kasa the poshrin. Better to drink a cup full of water that has sorcery or witchcraft performed on it than to drink a cup of warm water. That's only true if it's in a metal clay. But with clay cheres lislam ba, then it's okay. If you drink it out of a earthenware vessel, then the warm water is not a problem. Clay matechot nami lo amran el dolot zavitz. That if it wasn't, it sounds like roteach, means hot. I think what it means, I think you have to explain, means that it was once boiled, and then it came off the boiling point down to a warmer point. But not that it was always just warm and never got up to the boiling point. About zavitz lislam ba, if it was boiled, it's not a problem. Lo amran el dolot shad beit zviviya. It's also a case where you didn't throw anything into it. Meaning, throwing anything into it is like things like petel and other types of items that flavor or give some sort of taste to the water. If you do that, then it's not a problem. If you throw in other items like, bug juice, flavors, anything like that, that takes away from the detrimental impact of this warm water. So, Rabbi Yochanan. Mishin yachlo aviv ma'ot. Again, this is another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Any person whose father left him money, meaning this person is wealthy, ma'ot harbe, v'rotzeh abdan, and you want to use them up quickly, yilbash bigdei pishtan, wear linen clothing, v'yishtamesh b'kli zukuchit, and use glass clothing, v'yiskor pa'olim v'yishevim him, and hire workers, and do not supervise them. Alright, so what's this? Yilbash kli pishtan b'kitna rumito. And when we're talking about linen, we're talking about this specific type of linen, this rumito linen, which got to be a very expensive type of linen that wore down very easily. When we're talking about glassware over here is not just simply any glassware, but rather zuchuchit bezugita chiyurta, with the white glass. And the white glass is a much more expensive form of glass. If you use those, then they break, they're brittle. And you use them, then you're going to waste away your money. You have to look at Tosfos over here. It quotes that the Gemara in Sota mentions that mecharab beit hamikdash betelos chukit levana. And once the beit hamikdash was destroyed, this white glass was not around. So he says v'yishlom atlo batlo begamrei. It wasn't totally gone. Kamar elat lo shchicha. It wasn't found. As opposed to before, it was plentiful. After the destruction of the mikdash, it wasn't found so often. I mean, that was much more rare and more expensive. And that's what the Gemara here is indicating, that that expensive form of glass is something that will use up money. Biskor Paulim, Yashavim Mehem, you'll hire workers and not supervise them. Targuma, the Torah, the Nafish Psudayu. Talking about here, Shibarim, about oxen, because their loss will be great. Because if they ruin the ox over here, then it'll be great. So Rashi brings down the interpretation here. He says, Sharov of adult karkoshal and Bishvarim Haita. Majority of their work was done through oxen. Majority of their work was it. So even when they used to work in the vineyards, when they used to work about, even when they used to go to harvest, They were using the shvarim to pull through the vineyards and all these things. So then, if you, a balim are with you, if the owners are supervising them, they will treat the shvarim in the proper way, and they'll treat the vineyards in a proper way. But if you are not there to supervise them, what will they do? They don't care. They'll let the shvarim, when they're going to, they'll let them step on the vines. They'll let them get caught in the thickets. And because of that, you'll both lose the kerem. They'll ruin the vineyard. And the animal itself, right, will get ruined because they're bumping around. They're stepping on these uneven surfaces. They're getting caught up in the thicket. So all these items will cause you a large loss. Tosus over the year says, he's talking about the Rabbeinu Tam, or Rabbeinu Chananel says, Goraz Bechavre. He says that these are talking about Paulim who are actually pulling along the plow. The plow that has the metal piece of the plow, which actually plows the field, right, so on the plow shear, that plow has to be in the ground at least 3 tvachim. So it says, Ve'ema mekima harisha, shlosha tvachim, if they do not deepen the plow line, it's much easier to plow on the surface. So the Poalim, their incentive is just to plow without deepening the plow shear, and they say, oh yeah, we plowed it through. But it's the detriment of the Baalim, because when they go to plant, there won't be enough depth to the turned over soil and to the seeds being placed in there, and they won't take, they won't be collate. So since they won't take, there'll be a huge loss here, you'll be planted, and you won't get anywhere. So you have to supervise them to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do, meaning that they actually do the harder work, which is deepen the plow to the point where it's 3 tvachim into the ground. Okay, we'll stop over here.